Tina, you fat lard, come get some dinner.
Hello and welcome to No You May Not, stories about and from the service industry. I'm Justin, and as half the hosting duo here, you can count on me for a healthy dose of cynicism and sarcasm, both of which I've earned through a solid decade plus in the service industry.
And I'm your host, T. From shady dive bars and rural cottage towns to strip clubs in the city to the top upscale casual restaurants in the country, thank goodness I've been blessed with a sense of humor.
As service professionals, we all have a few things in common. We love good food, good drinks, and for better or worse, we love our jobs.
And we use this podcast to talk about all the ups and downs of working the 5-to-2 grind. Joining us today, she's been dodging your drunken advances for 15 years. Please don't touch Rhiannon.
You're allergic to podcasting.
I know. My throat just starts, I get a frog in my throat the second we even think about recording. All right. Welcome to a new episode of No You May Not. Today, we are talking about your top three cocktails, as in you're the people in this room, not you're the people listening to this podcast.
We don't care about your.
Although it could be both. I mean.
They'll probably like some of them.
That's Rhiannon joining us today. Coming back for round two.
Burning my mouth on tea.
Yeah. It's pretty warm. Warm tea.
I don't know why I'm drinking coffee. Every time I drink coffee, I just get anxious and don't want to drink coffee anymore.
Yeah.
And then forget before the next time coffee is made.
Well, that's why I didn't get a coffee. Yeah. I saw you had coffee and I was like, I already had two. I don't want to risk it.
Start shaking uncontrollably.
Just start pouring sweat. And I'm like, when are they going to fire me? They're going to fire me.
Am I even getting paid?
Oh, man. Mm. Yeah, this is actually the earliest we've ever done a pod before, unless you count like the wee hours of the AM as early, which I really don't. So
yeah, that's night.
Yeah, that's night. It's still night. If you haven't gone to bed yet, it's still night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The sleep cycle denotes time of day.
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
Mm. Sure. Mm-hmm. As long as it's like you do eventually sleep.
It's not an excuse that my family seems to accept, but still.
All right. Well, so let's get right into it. Top three cocktails. I would. Let's see. We've got so many notes here. This is awesome. Let's kick it off. Actually, I would love to hear Rhiannon tell me about her first cocktail. That's all right.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I went with the Spicy Dead Lady, which is a super simple to make cocktail, provided you have falernum. Or you know what falernum is?
I was going to say, I don't even know what falernum is. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's kind of like orgeat. So to describe what orgeat is, it's basically like a nutty kind of syrup that you'd use in tiki cocktails. It's kind of like its cousin, but falernum can also have alcohol. It's either non-alcoholic syrup or it's like a syrupy kind of liqueur. And then it's nut-based with almonds. And then there's like a fair bit of like allspice. So it's kind of like if orgeat was like a cookie, like there's a lot more spice to it. So okay. It's just like a
baking. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a baking spiced orgeat almost.
Okay,
so
cool.
It just kind of tastes like a cookie.
Just have to do
the
that.
More you know. I once had 2 liters of falernum spilt all over my brand new fur coat and that was upsetting.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. I had it for like a week and then it was just all crusted together. But yeah, so anyway, the Spicy Dead Lady. So it's equal parts falernum, lime, Aperol, and mezcal. So your first sip, you just taste the smoke from the mezcal and then it just kind of moves into like the citrusy, like lime Aperol. And then, ooh, there's also Hellfire Bitters. So then it just kind of moves from like smoke to like sweet and kind of citrusy too spicy. And you have to use Hellfire Bitters. If you're not using Hellfire Bitters, they're just not spicy enough. And you obviously don't want it to like burn your mouth, but you want that like fiery, peppery, like, So it's just like a really fun cocktail because you kind of like walk through it and you're like, smoke, sweet, citrus, fire. It's super fucking tasty.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Now, for like non-bartender people, Hellfire Bitters, is that like a specific brand, or is it just a style of bitters that's...
It is a specific brand of bitters, because you can get, like, hot pepper bitters, mm-hmm. and I've used hot pepper bitters, and they're just not spicy enough. Hellfire bitters are really, really spicy.
Right. Okay.
So you use them sparingly, obviously, but they're definitely the spiciest out of all, like, the peppery bitters that you can get.
Nice. I did see a couple different recipes when I was looking this one up. That did have like different types of bitters, and like one had like jalapeno, and I'm like, that doesn't really track for me. Like that would be like a medium spicy dead lady, like, you know, yeah. or a mild dead lady.
Well, it's more peppery than spicy, really. Mm-hmm. It's like peppery dead lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if somebody's asking about your tattoos, you get a little bit more generous with the hellfire bitters.
Oh yeah. Or if they order one Caesar, I'm like, oh really? You want one, you'll have one.
You know, you will not want another.
We're discussing whether or not Caesar should make the list, but it's funny that you mentioned, like, it's unanimously, it pisses bartenders off as a drink almost more than any other one that I know.
Absolutely.
And it's always a time related thing. Like, I don't think a bartender's ever been mad about making a Caesar during like brunch hours, but if you order a Caesar past like 6 p.m., instantly, bartender's like, "What the fuck, man!" Like,
it's
you want
a breakfast
Caesar?
Drink.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's like having a fucking mimosa at 7 p.m. Like, yeah. Get fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody wants that. why would you do that?
Also, it's annoying because you have to like set up a space to create it, right? Like, you have to have your fucking celery salt, mm-hmm. and like, it's just making a Caesar means you're going back and forth, really, unless you have like a designated Caesar station. Like when I worked in pubs, it was almost easier than working in a cocktail bar because you just kind of have that space where you set it and forget it.
Yeah.
But I mean, behind like cocktail bar, there's not much room back there.
Yeah.
And then you have to designate the space to it. And I find like, you know, you rim the glass over there. Then you have to go back for the vodka. Then you have to go back for the fucking Worcestershire and Tabasco. And like.
True. And garnishes are like have become problematic with Caesars too.
Oh, we've definitely talked about this one before.
Because people expect like a cheeseburger on it.
Yeah.
And then they'll also dictate that as to whether or not it's a good Caesar. Like how many times you've been asked, like, are your Caesars good? I'm like, it's the same recipe.
Yeah, it's like it's
Clamato and vodka, unless you change the spirit. But either way, like it's the same drink regardless. Like, what do you think makes it good? Like, you
want
to pickled asparagus in it? Like, go away.
Not like crazy ones, but you give them like a pickled carrot or something like that. And they're like,
can I have four more?
Oh, can I have two of those? I'm like, it's not a buffet. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So I guess I've come around to understanding why it pisses off bartenders.
I don't know.
Fair.
I am a fan of the Caesar for sure. But I make my own typically. So like I drink them here.
Caesars in the first place.
Yeah.
I drink them here. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big Caesar person. I went out with some friends and we were at like a vegan restaurant and they got vegan Caesars. And obviously like I haven't had it. A Caesar since I stopped eating all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Caesars and I got like a sangria because I was drunk and couldn't think of anything else. And then their Caesars showed up and then I had a sip and was like, oh my God, this is so good. So like, I get it. They are delicious.
Yeah. It's the umami and like, yeah. But I think that you're both right in saying like, there's definitely like an accepted time frame for a Caesar.
Oh,
like,
exactly.
It's a great hangover drink. Like, it's awesome when you're, you know.
And if you're hungover at 7 p.m., your life choices are not things that I'm going to be discussing with you.
I mean, unless you went out and they did really have the brunch and had the mimosas, and now you're just starting to feel it.
Middle of the day hungover?
Yeah.
Plus, it also depends on what time you stop drinking. Like, mm-hmm. last week, I was in bed till 4:30 because I was drinking till 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And also, booze just really messes me up. So I was not feeling great. And the only reason I got out of bed at 4:30 was because I'd be mad at myself if I got out of bed at 5.
Yeah. I don't think you've negated anything I just said.
Seriously.
If you wanted to firm up the foundations, mission accomplished.
All right. Well, I think you make a good case. Mm-hmm. Justin, mm-hmm. how about you get us started with yours there?
Sure. Yeah. So I felt
it's a good one.
I felt like we kind of had to pick a specific cocktail. So I went with a whiskey sour, which is of course just like the most traditional sour, but I like the sour. I don't bartend much, but I like the sour when I'm behind the bar because I find it's a very easy cocktail to kind of like tweak a little bit to fit people's taste buds. It's almost always balanced when it comes out. Mm-hmm. It's just a crowd pleaser. You know, I had a
girl sitting at the bar the other day, and I could tell she was kind of basic, so I made her like a vodka orange sour, and she's like, oh my god, this tastes like a creamsicle, it's the best thing ever. I'm like, yeah, whatever, fine. But then I mean, if you want, you can just the classic like bourbon and a whiskey sour just kind of gives it that nice sweet spice with a little bit of acid to balance it out, and then the kind of like fattiness of the egg or whatever you want to call it. Just, I don't know. It's a really cool cocktail.
Creamy in the mouth, feels rad.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if you want to break your wrists and do a proper shake on it like that, there's nothing cooler than seeing like a really, really good foam on the top, you know, like.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. Like Caesars are annoying because they take time, but whiskey sours take almost as much time. But for me, I feel like I enjoy it. Like I enjoy making a really, really good sour.
Yeah.
And just like really getting it aerated and whipped and just like, it's so sexy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. When you pour like a marshmallow out of your shaker, yeah, you're so proud of yourself. You know,
like, you're like, damn, that's good.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's kind of why I picked that one. And I think, like I said, I think it was, the bartender that I currently, well, I guess I don't really work with him anymore. Kind of showed me how like his sour game is very, very strong. And once I saw like that, you know, it's pretty fucking simple to put together. You just have to put the effort in.
That's the thing. They are really simple. And then people are always so impressed by it. Like you, it was alchemy, you know, they're just like, oh my God, this is so good. And you're like, yeah, I shook it twice.
Yeah,
it was the second shake that changed everything.
What temperature did you bake everything. This drink at? No. Yeah.
All right.
Short but sweet for me, I think, mm-hmm. for that one anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess I'll pull up my first one here, the Aviation. This is, unfortunately, you can't get it everywhere because Creme de Violette isn't on every bar, but I am a big fan of this drink. It's just, it's funny. I've actually got like a point here. All my drinks are gin based. It's just like, I think I just like gin. I don't know. But the Aviation, is a really, really great way to show off, the botanicals and whatever gin, you'd like to pull out. So even you can put a high end, gin with this drink in particular, just because the floral nature of the violet really pulls, kind of the rest of the botanicals out of the gin, I feel. Mm-hmm. And then using that balance with the lemon and then having that sour sweet maraschino in there as well. I think this drink is a lot of fun and, yeah, I don't know. I just love this one. It's interesting as well because the different creme de violette have different color profiles as well. And this is a very pretty drink, arguably, again here, possibly one of the first purple drinks ever made. So, and it's funny because it tastes nothing like purple.
Yeah, it really doesn't taste like purple at all.
I was thinking of throwing on like the Homer Simpson, purple's a fruit. But yeah, it is a classic pairing here. It does say gin cherry. I don't find like maraschino tastes like cherry to me. Like it's so sour that.
It's just at the tail end, I find. Yeah. It's almost like. Yeah, just like a little of the richness and the sweetness, but that's it.
But saying like gin cherry really, I think, undersells this drink because it's not that at all. It's just sour and sweet and floral and really elegant, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a very elegant, pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely not my favorite because I do not enjoy the creme de violette at all. To me, it's far too floral and it tastes like the smell of my grandmother's bathroom.
Yep.
Perfume, yeah, potpourri.
Just like rose water. I'm like, nope. Either you love it or you don't.
We were just having a discussion about how slow, like you can watch every other bottle change over on the bar, but the creme de violette is always like the long standing one that goes by millimeters down.
Yeah. Even ours,
you need a drop. And if you use any more than that, it's just awful.
I made one for myself last night after writing these notes up, even though I'm sick, I'm just like, no, I need something. Yeah. I've been writing about alcohol for too long.
Alcohol is a disinfectant.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I use the Ungava gin, which was the ugliest color Aviation I've ever consumed. It was like brown.
Super gross.
Speaking of beautiful colors. But yeah, I use like a quarter ounce of violet, and I could have gone lower, but I think it was okay. But it's very, you're right though, it's very polarizing, this drink, because any drink with any floral notes as well, orange blossom water being another one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
I can't really do rose and I can't do lavender because I've used lavender to clean for so long and it's just like, ugh, this smells like cleaner.
Yeah.
Yep. But for me, the violette hasn't been ruined yet, so.
I worked with a guy a while ago who I called him the dish soap bartender because he loved to use creme de violette and he had no idea of how much to use.
Oh, no.
And he would always combine them with the weirdest things and everything just came out with, like, different versions of Dawn dish soap. It was just so bad.
Yeah, you could really only use it to clean off oil-covered animals.
Yeah, for sure. His bar was sparkling at the end of the day. Yeah.
All right. What makes more sense? Well, let's go back to Rhiannon and have a little chat about Margaritaville.
I just love margaritas. Think about a margarita is you can make it behind any bar, really. Like, there's not much to it. And it's always refreshing and satisfying. And even if it's not like the greatest margarita you've had, it pretty well delivers on what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You mean even if you don't have a blender?
Yeah, I've never blend it. I've worked in places where people would order a blended margarita and astonishingly the blender would break instantly.
Weird.
had broken the week before when you threw it off the back balcony. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like how the coffee machine goes off at 9 p.m. Oh, sorry. It's off. We Fresh can't turn out. It back on.
Yeah. Sorry. It needs a generator.
We're out of hot water.
The Jenny's broken. I'm sorry.
You want to run down to Shell and get some gas, you know, that's... I was saying it's funny. I almost consider the margarita in, like, the same category as, like, a daiquiri where... If you know how to balance your flavors in a drink, it's super simple, but like it is actually, you can tell when someone doesn't know what the hell they're doing something that simple, you know? And there are little things like fresh lime, you know, makes massive difference in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great when you're at like a pub and they're like, well, you just use bar lime. You're like, oh, okay, I'll just go kill myself.
I'd never noticed this before. I went down to change the pop. The other day, and the bar lime box is labeled margarita.
Oh no!
And I was like, no.
Oh no!
Yeah, I had no idea, but I've never considered making a margarita with bar lime before.
Yeah, no, I've definitely had it, and it's disappointing at best. But what do? You're just like, okay, I'll crush this.
Yeah,
and I'll order something that doesn't have any lime in it.
And wait for the hangover tomorrow.
I do think that my first whiskey sour in my hometown bar, I think that was made with lime, like bar lime. I think it was like whiskey bar lime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that was my first like sour anything.
Whiskey sour, quote unquote.
Yeah. I remember I was working at a pub and my bartender, who was new, he had more of like a cocktail background and someone had ordered a whiskey sour. And I knew that they wanted whiskey and bar lime.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, should I make a proper one? I was like, no, don't. he's like, no, but they'll be so impressed. I'm like, no, they won't because it's not what they want.
They want a
shitty sour. And he's just like, no, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, all right, bring it to the table. And the guy's like, what's this? I'm like, it's a sour. And he's just like, I'm like, just taste it. And he had a taste. He's like, this is not what I ordered. I'm like, well, it is, but it's not what you wanted. That's the difference. Yeah. Like, it's exactly what you ordered, but you don't know what you're ordering, and that's fine. And I knew you weren't going to like it, so I'm just going to take it away.
Bye.
There's a place I worked where we always had a bottle of citrus, which is just kind of like half and half lemon lime, and a bottle of milk on the bar. And they look very similar in low lighting. And I can't tell you how many times I've had sours go out that had milk in them instead of citrus.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Or vice versa, just swapped, you know, citrus in place of milk, milk in place of citrus. You'd be surprised how terrible that makes a cocktail.
would I be surprised? But, I don't know about that.
But also how long it takes people to realize, too.
Ooh.
And a couple of ladies sipping on these sour drinks they got, and they're like, I don't think this is right. I'm not really certain. Do you want to try this? And I sip. I'm like, this is awful. How did you make it halfway through this drink?
What did you order?
Yeah, hilarious.
Too funny. Yeah, I think what sets the margarita apart from the daiquiri is the addition of salt. And I think that that really does change the game and kind of, I don't want to say elevates it because they're very different drinks, but I think that it lends a more complex kind of story to the flavor, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, salt just makes you, well, I mean, we all know what it does. It makes you thirsty. So you put a little bit of that in a drink and it is crushable.
Yeah.
Even if it were crushable before, but you just add like a little pop of salt, it's just like look, 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 it's gone.
I think a little salt is also an important note here because there's again, if you go to a pub, your entire glass is going to be salt.
Oh like, yeah, just and it'll be roll in the cocktail in it. Yeah, too. For it'll sure, just, like the base of the cocktail is just. Salt mine.
Realistically, you should have to look for the salt on a margarita rim, I think. Like, just a little on the side. And
yeah,
then
just a touch. So you can visit nobody it. Ever, like, it's not like you'll ever give someone a full rim salt margarita and they'll lick it all off.
It's not like a Caesar
like
rim.
Like, they'll clear a spot and then just drink from there.
Just have a Gatorade if you need electrolytes like that.
It is interesting, though, even, like, beyond the salty flavor itself, it is really interesting when you add salt to citrus because it brings out the sweet nature of it. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like you can get away with a margarita with a little bit less sugar just because you pull those flavors out of the citrus itself.
Yeah. Plus the Quattro or whatever like orange liqueur you're using is obviously going to soften the lime as well. So it's not going to be overwhelmingly sour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just love margaritas. It's my thing where you're like, you know, you get somewhere and you have no idea what you want. I'm like, margarita. I also refer to it as a Mexican Cosmo because it's kind of basic in that way where you're like, this is a basic girl drink, but like it's also delicious and I'm okay with it. Cosmo.
Cosmo's a great drink
Mexican
too.
Mexican Cosmo.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. All right. What should we move on to next?
Cosmo takes a lot of shit these days, actually.
It's not a bad cocktail. Yeah, we had a resurgence.
Yeah. Well, it's Sex and the City that murdered it because that's what everybody associates it with now. But I feel like everybody's embarrassed to order a Cosmopolitan now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed lately people have been ordering them. And like the first time I made one in forever, I just kind of laughed. I was like, really? And then I made it and tasted it. It was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, this is pretty good.
I had a guy used to come in all the time, and the first thing he'd say at the bar is like, "Yeah, I want a Cosmo." And it's like, and he was like, you know, one of the tough guys or whatever. But he's like, "It's a fucking delicious drink.
It's a well balanced cocktail, you know." Like, yeah, can't argue with that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Speaking of martinis, do you want to get on your?
I almost felt like this was lazy, but I just love gin martinis so much, and. I'm a super dry martini guy. Like you can paint the glass with the vermouth and that's about all I really want. But I had the best martini of my life when I was at the because they hand stuff their blue cheese olives. And it was like, you could tell they did it to order. It wasn't sitting in a jar anywhere. And it was just like, it's so simple and cold. And like, I drink my martinis like I think most people should. It's just like three sips, you know, like you just, and it's, you know, talk about a basic move when you walk in. It's just like, I'll have a martini because that's going to get my buzz going. And then I'll figure out what bottle of wine I'm going to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Just something about the funky savoriness of the blue cheese with all the botanicals and the gin. And just that little bit of sweetness, but like stirred, not shaken. Don't bruise the shit on my martini, please. Yeah, I loved it. I don't know. You've got like page of information written about this.
Well, it's because it's really cool that you because when you specified, you said the blue cheese garnish, so I kind of went with that because I mean you can talk all day about why the martini is a great drink, but it is really interesting that you did specify with a blue cheese olive garnish, and I think there's a lot of really interesting stuff about this. It kind of helped resurge the martini in Chicago, and really helped kind of the blue cheese olive be known as like the steakhouse garnish. So I think that's pretty cool. Apparently, was this 1995? Yeah, so the Club Lucky in Chicago has been stuffing their olives by hand since 1989, and just because they wanted something that was a little bit different to set themselves apart. And I think that's really cool. Like,
yeah, and this is another one that kind of pisses me off with people as well, because I just don't think majority of people that order martinis know what the hell they're doing. And like dirty martinis. I get a little bit of it. Well, no, I mean, that's not necessarily like, I find it's almost always people are drinking vodka martinis that want dirty ones.
Yeah, it's because vodka doesn't taste like anything. Yeah. And a proper martini is gin based.
Yeah.
Like an actual martini is gin.
But
yeah. People don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the reason you have to put olive brine in it is because vodka's no terrible. It's paint thinner. Like it's, you know, I don't know. Drinking on its own, I don't get it. Sorry, Polish and Russian people out there, but I don't get it.
Pull that one out.
Yeah.
Well, vodka's just so neutral, right? Like, it's just like, cool, that's booze.
I don't want to taste
anything.
You know,
like, there's not, like, how many vodkas have you tasted where you're like, like, that tastes like something. They usually just taste like vodka. Where, like, gin, for instance, it can take you on so many different avenues based on the botanicals that they're using. So, I mean, if you're drinking a spirit that's just, like, cold, gin is like obviously going to be more satisfying because it actually tastes like something.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to taste the booze in my juice, but I want to get fucked. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, vodka definitely has a place in cocktails just when you don't want to, you know, when you really want the other flavors to come through and you don't want it to feel like booze.
Yeah.
There are some vodkas that have a little bit more going, like Tito's. I can actually taste something in Tito's. It's got a little bit more of the sweetness. Which makes it more enjoyable to me, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, and, like, Stoli Elite has a really, really nice, like, viscous mouthfeel and, like, has a little hint of anise to it, which is, like, super rad, but that's why I remember it, right? Because it actually tasted like something.
Right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, and like, I think, judging from what I know about vodka, like, they, you know, always brave, like the best vodkas are all like triple distilled, so you're almost getting away from what vodka is traditionally supposed to be, which is this like super clean and crisp and that's it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And also olives, man, like extra olives.
It's not a snack, it's a drink.
Well, exactly. Order food.
Yeah.
Well, like, I get that you like olives, but you're ordering a drink, you're not ordering food.
Yeah. And also, like, if it takes you that long to get through your martini, like I said, I think it's meant to be like a 3-sip. Like, it's supposed to be quick. If your martini's warm by the time that's gross. You're not drinking it the right way. It's not because I'm an alcoholic. It's an unrelated issue.
Well, it's like a lot of cocktails aren't really great when they sit for a while. Most served in coupes specifically aren't really great when they sit for a while.
They start separating.
Like, if something's on the rocks, then obviously, like, you're using the rocks for dilution. So, I mean, it'll get to that point where, like, you know, sometimes your first sip will be like, woo, that's a little boozy. And then you wait a minute and then it's like, oh, that's exactly where I want it to be.
Yeah.
If there's no ice in it, crush it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is watching people nurse sours.
Oh, it's so gross.
No.
You're like, how are you drinking that for an hour and a half? That's revolting.
It's so terrible. It's just like they're drinking the clear liquid. I'm like, I want to see what happens when you make it down the halfway of that glass. Settled cooked egg white in your rocks.
Hello, friends. Just wanted to jump in here and say that if you're listening to this message, that means you're listening to this podcast for free. And hey, we love you and thank you so much for your support. But if you do want to skip ads like these, you can head on over to patreon.com/knowyoumaynot and become a patron today. Just $5 a month gets you ad-free access and exclusive outtakes, as well as upcoming bonus content. Thanks. Back to the show.
So we were just talking about the gin martini with the blue cheese olive garnish.
Mm-hmm.
So from one martini to another, I'm going to bring up the Gibson as one of my favorites.
That's another one I don't understand.
And in contrast to Justin, I actually do like my martinis shaken. I like them dirty and I like them extra wet. So yeah, like your mom.
Yeah. Nobody's mom is wet.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
So So the Gibson is a little bit more of a savory take, although I don't know that it's more savory than the blue cheese olive. I think that that's pretty savory in and of itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a drink that you can't order just about anywhere just because not everybody has onions on the bar. Because
it's not the 1920s, see?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most of our food isn't pickled anymore.
Yeah, true enough. True enough. Actually pickled a bunch of cocktail onions for Gibson's. So I haven't busted into them yet, but I'm pretty excited to. So the pickled onion, it's in place of the olive to add a little bit of extra umami to the drink. And I mean, you can pretty much, classic Gibson again is going to be like the dry. I guess initially they put the onion in to differentiate a dry martini from a not. Like a regular martini, and it just became a thing. So a drink in and of itself, don't need to go too in depth about martinis because I think we've already done that. But yeah, I like the extra kind of like punch in the mouth that the onion gives to the drink. And also, since I do have my martinis typically a little bit dirtier, the onion pickling liquid is quite nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little change.
I like not kissing you after you have one.
Mm.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
I think you just don't enjoy kissing me based on all the foods that you eat. You're like your kippered fish and your pickled onions and
Scandinavian.
And she's smoking cheese. 5 cigarettes right now.
just mitt full of cigarettes. I just pictured that and I just had to stop myself there. Oh, geez.
I'm in flavor country. Mm-hmm. It's a big country.
Oh, with the Simpsons quotes today. That's great.
Also, the onion, all I keep thinking about is we wore an onion on our belt, which was a style at the time.
Which was
that's how the Gibson martini was invented.
Oh, geez. So I just have here in my little notes that initially, like one of the origin stories is that it was created by a San Francisco businessman who believed that eating onions prevented colds. So he wanted to get his drink on and also didn't want to get sick, which I understand. I understand both of those things.
You should probably have a Gibson martini then.
Oh my God, I know.
You might as well because I'm not kissing you right now anyway.
Perfect.
So, yeah. Which is funny actually because I've heard that onions are one of the things that soak up a lot of
toxins,
pathogens, or toxins.
They've soaked up all the toxins from the pickling brine. These ones are.
I've heard
done.
That. I'm not sure if that's a like.
I don't know
I
if that's,
like
a
that's a
factual
pseudoscience
thing.
Kind of a thing.
Oh, definitely.
It's like.
Oh, I mean, I've heard like the old wives' tale where you like cut an onion in half and leave it beside your bed or whatever.
Oh, aren't you supposed
sick.
To like rub it on your feet?
On your feet, yeah. Or yeah, underarms. And yeah. It's like, okay,
sure.
More people that don't enjoy human contact. Gross. Anyway.
Jeez.
Well, normally I think I would go because that feels like the normal turn, but I don't think that's the natural progression.
No, it's I think Rhiannon's up with the numero tray here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ah, yes. The faithful Negroni.
So faithful.
It's just delicious. It's just a delicious drink. You have sweet, you have a little bit of bitter. It's all booze. I mean, I'm not a big booze forward cocktail kind of person. To me, I'm not like, it's just not how I drink really, but a Negroni, I'm like, that's another for me. I don't know what I want to drink and I know I'm always going to love this cocktail. So if I'm not sure what I want, I'm like Negroni, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel like it's a pitfall cocktail though, because there's things that people don't really understand a lot of time. Like when people come into the restaurant, for whatever reason, if you have a Negroni on the menu, I find they're tempted to order it. They're just like, cool. I'm like, have you had one before? No, don't have it then.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, your first one you're not going to like, you're going to pretend you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Try a sip of your friend sometime. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you're brave enough, you can order your own later. But yeah, it's, I mean, the Campari is the biggest thing that people don't really anticipate. That that's a really like, especially I like mine on the bitter side as opposed to the sweet side, and that hits you like it's it's, and especially with the gin, which we'll get into, but I think it's a lighter you get the botanicals, but this is a lighter spirit, so you don't, it's there's nothing to kind of curve it at all, and it yeah, it's, I mean, you better like what's in the drink.
Oh, yeah.
It's boozy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I remember my first one and they're just like, how is it? And I was just like, it's good. Yeah. And then you just wait for the ice to melt. And then you're like, okay, like now that the ice is three or like, you know, a quarter of the size it used to be, now I can finish this. Mm-hmm. And then at that point I could actually like enjoy the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's another reason why I think like, I mean, you're not going to like your first Negroni. If you do, you're just lying. But it's also like a good way to get into classic cocktails because once the ice melts, it becomes fairly easier to drink it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have here in the notes for the Negroni, and it's always fun like looking up the origins of classic cocktails, especially like the IBA certified ones. And this was super cool. A gentleman in Florence, Italy, wanted his favorite cocktail, the Americano, strengthened, so gin instead of soda water, which is a really weird flex if you ask me. Just be like, yeah, I want a little bit stronger. How about we replace that soda, non-alcoholic thing with gin? Like, I just love the flex there. Like, it's, like, such a power move.
Yeah.
This is kind of a bitch-made drink. do you have any carbonated gin?
Maybe. Like, maybe the bartender just felt like an asshole, and he's like, oh, you want that drink strong, do you?
Make it fine. A strong one.
make it strong.
It's like a spicy Caesar. And you're like, you're not going to order another.
Joke's on you. It's a classic cocktail now.
Also in 1919, the first guy who ever ordered a strong drink with a wink to the bartender.
Make it strong.
Oh, righty.
Make it strong. Order a double. Yeah. Damn it.
It's funny. You know what? I was just thinking the old fashioned is classically like an orange twist, but I've known several bartenders that prefer a lemon, and I never really occurred to me the difference or why. I think it's just honestly like whatever their preference is, but I was just looking because it's like that was the difference between Americano and the Negroni, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just to show that it's not the same drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which apparently every bar in 1919 was really well lit because I can't tell the difference between a fucking lemon twist and an orange.
Well, they didn't have colored straws back then.
Yeah, I can't.
A blue straw for the Negroni.
Yeah.
It's a nice color contrast.
Back when people cared about this planet.
They never cared about the
planet. No, I'm kidding.
No, nobody ever cared.
That was the joke.
All right, Justin.
I still wish we could shit and throw it into the streets.
Just dump it out the top window.
Yeah, that's why men walk on the side of the road. I know a lot of men think, or like a lot of people think, that men walking closer to the road is for to protect like the woman that they're walking from traffic, but it's really in case if they were throwing shit out their window that it landed on the man instead of the woman.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll do you one better. High heels. That's how high heels got invented. To
keep
lift
you
your
out
foot
shit.
Out of the shit. Yeah. Legitimately. And heads up. That's also the origin of heads up.
I always assumed I walked on the street side just in case the voices told me to push. You know? Safer for everybody.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Just push her into a building. We're learning so much today. I didn't know that about the street, though. That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, I remember a friend telling me, she's like, we were like in high school. And she's like, my boyfriend's so sweet. His mother taught him to walk on the side of the road. So that, you know, because it's like chivalrous, because if a car veers off, and I'm like, okay, that's how many times you've been walking down a sidewalk and had a car veer off towards you? Like, very rarely. And also, a man standing in front of you isn't going to prevent you from dying.
Yeah. I was
going to
say.
But I just thought, you know.
Controlled,
like,
very controlled veering. I only veer into the first 2 feet of the sidewalk.
Yes. Yeah.
Unless you're a senior citizen, then you're veering into A&Ws.
Yeah.
Legit.
You just assume they're all still drive-ins. Where's the girl on the roller skates?
Oh, man. Alrighty. Well.
Yeah, this is going to be even more brief just because it's really just a touch on Rhiannon's cocktail. But I don't particularly love Negronis. I think that almost came across when I said the thin gin spirit. But I do love brown spirits in cocktails. And I think with the sweetness and the bitter, I think as much as I said, I don't like sweeter Negronis, I do like the little bit of sweetness that the bourbon brings in, mm-hmm. and a bit of the spice too, just from the barrel aging. It gives it just a little more depth, but still, it's still my basic. Like everywhere I go, I order Boulevard J. Boulevard J.
Yeah,
which, as I didn't mention, that's what the cocktail is called when you add bourbon instead of gin. I was wondering when you were going
to add that in.
Yeah. I'm just mixing up the format, apparently.
What is this mystery cocktail?
It's Clue. Yeah. Justin in the bar with a bottle of bourbon. Yeah.
It's interactive podcasting. You have to do a little research if you want to know, all right?
I'm going
to
murder this drink.
Yeah. You do have to be careful where you order that, though. Because I went to a one time and ordered a Boulevard J, and I should have known because there were three trips before my cocktail started getting made. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I noticed you have a Negroni on the list. I'm like, so just take the gin out and put the bourbon in. Okay, I'll be right back. No, with a drink though, right? My bartender,
no, with permission.
My bartender thinks he can make it. Is that, you want that? Yes, please. But what came back eventually was like this weird bastardized version of halfway between an old fashioned and a Negroni at a Boulevard J, because they like, apparently they have like a pre-mixed Negroni mix on the back bar, which yeah, I'd never heard of. And it was like barrel aged or something. It was super, super weird. And I have not ordered one there since.
That's fair. Yeah. Also, why would you need to barrel age a Negroni?
I have no idea.
Was that even legal at that time?
It was because it was a pre-mixed. They didn't do it. It was like a purchased product
batched
that I don't know where they got it through.
That's so silly. Like, it's not that hard to add three equal parts to anything.
Of things that are on every bar ever.
Or at least should be, yeah. It's like, come on.
Actually, that's not true. We sat at the bar one time, and then I literally, like I said,
you pointed them out.
I pointed them out. I'm like, yeah, you want Campari, sweet vermouth, and bourbon. And she's like, and I was like that one up there and that one.
Oh, no. Down one, over three. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I find that, like, I mean, most times when you're ordering at, like, a or an or, like, basically any kind of franchised restaurant and you're ordering a cocktail, most of the time you're met with zero recognition upon their face, where they're just like deer in the headlights. They're like, okay, I'm just going to go ask someone. And you're like, ask them, like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe you should.
Maybe you should. Yeah.
Yeah. Or,
which I mean,
or like, maybe you should get off your Instagram and get onto Google.
On the old Google machine.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You probably even look that up on Instagram too. I don't know. Like, hashtag Boulevard J.
I've used that so many times because I should clarify this, as much as I shit on bartenders, I was not a good bartender for a long time and still am not a good bartender. Now I just hang on by the seat of my pants, but I have Googled drinks, turn your back and like pretend you're zesting an orange or something.
I would rather someone Google a drink and make it properly than to just see what happens. Like we talked about this last night when I ordered an aviation.
But that was just like, I'll admit that I don't know how to make it, but it's kind of like seeing the bear with me, I'm new and in training badge on an A&W employee or like bear immediately with me. You're immediately pissed off. You're like, oh, fuck, this is not going to be a quick burger.
Yeah. But the explanation, the explanation that I got was, well, I make mine differently. It's like, no, you just asked Justin how to make it. We know that you don't know how to make it. You don't make this differently.
This was particularly bad though, because this gentleman walked in the back because I was working at this establishment too, asked me to Google the drink, and then went out and told T that this one might taste a little different because he makes them differently. And I'm like, I don't know how you think you're going to get off with this one.
Well, also like how do you follow a recipe differently? Like you just don't read it?
I just think he had zero faith in himself.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, it's not a complicated drink. Neither is the Boulevard J. Like a lot of the nice thing about the classic cocktails is that generally they're like three or four ingredients tops.
Oh,
and
exactly.
Yeah. And they're easy to crank out, you know, like maybe some are shaken, maybe some are stirred, but like ultimately it's not super crazy. The garnishes aren't insane, you know, like.
Yeah. Usually there's not much of a garnish. Mm-hmm. It's
pretty simple.
Yeah. And like most classic cocktails are made that way because there wasn't pineapple juice in 1909 in New York.
Anywhere outside of Hawaii. Yeah.
You know, like, that's a reason. There's a reason they're easy. It's because all they were relying off of was stuff that was available at hand.
For sure.
It's like,
That's why the old fashioned is what it is. It's because they're like, well, we have a shit ton of Canadian rye that's illegal. How do we make this taste better than just rye?
Sugar.
Exactly.
Put some sugar in it. Cool. Awesome. Win.
We got lots of sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
first you get the sugar, then you get the money, then you get the women. I'm so glad Disney Plus has The Simpsons on it.
Oh, geez.
I accidentally paid for a year and then realized I don't like anything about Disney except The Simpsons are on there. So $90 to watch The Simpsons, I'll pay it.
Simpsons is great.
I did watch The Mandalorian. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
I've only seen one Star Wars film ever, and I don't know which one it was. It's one of the newer ones.
Okay. First mistake.
I honestly, watching it, I saw the appeal. Like, I understood why people enjoy it. But, no, I mean, my family watched it when I was a kid, and they never really ever watched anything that I had any interest in.
Right.
So then they would watch, and I'd just be in my room, like, making arts and crafts.
Fair.
So I just never got into it, because whenever they were watching stuff, it was usually something that I had no say in or very little interest in. So Star Wars just comes down to that for me, where I'm like, yeah.
Fair.
Never watched it. Don't care to.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Yeah. All right.
And I don't like making arts and crafts, so there.
Nerd! Well, you don't like going to the emergency room?
Fair. Well, different reasons. You cook.
I have tea for that.
I'm very accident prone.
Did you add a punch noise to the soundboard?
Thunk. No, she just hits me, actually.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll...
if anybody's keeping track, that was 3 for all of us, so that's the end of the podcast.
No, it's not. What? I haven't done my last one yet.
Well, I wasn't keeping
track. Wow, Justin. Clearly. I'm about to
if
get into
that.
If
all of us are two people, then yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
How about that?
I've got a little bit of a wild card here. I think that Rhiannon started with kind of like maybe not one of the classic like there's a lot of classic cocktails on this list. So I think you started with one, and I'm going to finish with one, a non-classic. So I've got the Queen's Dubonnet, which I love. I had it once at the Chateau Queen Elizabeth in Montreal, and I've always been intrigued by it, but it was nice to actually have it there, the way it was prepared, served on a silver platter, of course. It was served up, and as I understand, the Queen Mother liked hers on the rocks, but I will just describe this drink a little bit. So Dubonnet is interesting just because, like, it's not something that you see in a lot of cocktails.
Yeah.
It is a fortified wine for those who are not the bar inclined. And it has a little bit of quinine in it as well, which I didn't know until I was researching this last night. So essentially, Dubonnet was invented to be a little bit more palatable for the quinine, because I guess it kind of tastes bitter and salty. Because apparently quinine is good to prevent malaria. Good times.
Yeah. All right.
And it is interesting when I did take a look at that. Sorry.
Like, you know what else is good to prevent malaria? Sickle cell anemia.
Continue. Okay, perfect. So much of this.
I do that one with a raised eyebrow.
Anyway, so much like the aviation, apparently the Gin Dubonnet cocktail was invented to kind of showcase finer gins, although it's typically made with London Dry, as is tradition. So sometimes they serve it with a twist of lemon. The Queen prefers it on a lemon slice. And so Gin Dubonnet, the parts, it really, really depends on the recipe that you follow. As far as I understand...
I make this one differently.
Yeah, it might taste a little bit different. So 30% gin to 70% Dubonnet. I prefer mine more the 50-50 because I feel like you want to taste that gin. But I thought it was interesting that...
Because Dubonnet has a lower alcohol percentage.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
It was interesting, though, because when you think of, like, gin and tonic, and part of what goes really, really well together about that is, like, the quinine. So to have that as a part of Dubonnet as well, I thought was really interesting. So apparently gin and quinine just kind of go together. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, so what's kind of nice about it is Dubonnet is a little bit sweeter than sweet vermouth. So it's kind of like a little bit different of a flavor, I guess, than, you know, your typical vermouth gin. Yeah. I'm just keep talking. Someone can interrupt me at any time.
I think we've become... I realize very clearly that I am not going to be doing the talking today. Cause
yeah, it's only been eyebrow raises.
I can't keep track of space or time right now. I'm just
Justin's existing in a void.
I have no idea.
This cocktail is also called the Zaza, apparently, as well.
Probably not by the Queen, though.
Not by the Queen.
Are you kidding? Imagine her just being wasted. Another Zaza! Another Zaza. Philip! Bring me my Zaza juice. I want to call all drinks Zazas now.
Zaza.
I love it. That is, it was named after a character in a 1915 film, and that is such a 1915 name. Zaza.
Zaza.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, what was the film?
I'm not sure. But
it was silent.
It was silent. Absolutely. Probably in black and white as well, I would say. Just wagering a guess there.
Yeah. I think that stands up.
I'm pretty sure her name was not Zaza at birth. Doesn't say that on her birth certificate, I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm on Team Justin all of a sudden.
Let's speculate.
Jared, watch it. Maybe it's contagious.
Alrighty. Well, I think we covered like 9 pretty bomb cocktails here. Yes.
I believe we agreed to refer to them as Zazas now.
Zazas.
Sorry. Bomb Zazas. Zaza bomb.
Also feels like it could get you in trouble, though, if you compliment somebody on their bomb Zazas.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's immediately where I went.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I kicked that dude out for asking about my Zaza.
All right. Well, I guess we will get out of here then. We're doing great on time as well. Like, what is going on?
I don't know. I feel like I've already signed off halfway through this, but I'll do it again.
All righty. Well, Rhiannon, thank you so much for coming back.
Oh, it's been...
Talk to us about cocktails.
I love it. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Of course. Justin, how would you say goodbye?
Okay, bye-bye.
Right.
I'm gonna go take a nap.
All right. Well, goodbye, everybody. We love you.
So that's our show for this week. A very special thank you to our patrons and our subscribers. Not a subscriber yet? Do you like what you hear? You can subscribe to us anywhere you get your podcasts. If you love what you hear and want to tip on top, you too can become a patron. You can find us over at patreon.com/knowyoumaynot. Thank you so much for the support. We love you. Have a great service.